Chapter 14, Cheese. My mom gets home from school early. When she walks in the door, she's carrying two big bags of groceries. Rehearsals are going great, so let's everyone have the day off. I thought I'd make dinner, she enthused. She added, I feel like I've been neglecting you lately, Ellie. She spends the rest of the afternoon in the kitchen. When we go in for dinner, it looks like a tornado hit the place. Dirty bowls, measuring cups are piled in the sink, and flour is all over the counter. She must have used every single pot in the house. Dinner is served, she announces, and places our plates in front of us with a flourish. There's a breaded fried patty-like thing lying in the middle of each plate. Next to it is some singed asparagus. My grandfather and I both take a bite. So, my mom asks, what do you think? It's mushy, with a weird texture, and has way too much pepper. My grandfather makes a face. What is it supposed to be? Fried eggplant, she says. His answer is decisive. Nope, don't like it. She looks at me. Do you like it? I shake my head. Her shoulders sag in defeat. The eggplant goes in the trash, and we order Chinese. My grandfather and I are in the kitchen the next day after school, and he's complaining about my mother's cooking. If she had paid as much attention to her chemistry as she did to that theater nonsense, she'd be a good cook, he says. He exaggerates the word theater so that it sounds like theater. Chemistry. What does that have to do with anything? He looks at me. Cooking is science. It is? It has always seemed so artsy to me. It's all basic chemistry, he says. In fact, science has its fingerprints all over the kitchen. He opens the refrigerator and takes out a block of cheese, waves it. Louis Pasteur discovered a way to kill bacteria in drinks. Pasteurization, or heating at high temperatures. It was practically a miracle at the time. That's why we can drink milk and eat cheese without getting sick. I had no idea that cheese was a miracle. I like to cook, I tell him. Of course you do, he says, as if it's perfectly obvious. You take after me. Maybe I do take after him. He claps his hands. Let's make dinner. What should we make? I ask. Most of my recipes are breakfast-oriented. He looks in the refrigerator and then goes to the green wooden recipe box on the windowsill above the sink. The recipe box belonged to my grandmother. Sometimes, when my mother's had a bad day, she'll pull out the little cards and read them. She says she just likes to look at her mother's handwriting. My grandfather ticks through the recipes, and with a critical eye, he pulls one out. Ah, yes, this will do nicely, he says. I look at the recipe card. It has stains on it, like it's been used a lot. In perfect, loopy cursive, it reads, Coq au vin, Melvin's favorite. He adds, and it's French, like Louis Pasteur. The only French food I've ever eaten is French fries, I confess. You can't go wrong with French food, he assures me. It's the best cuisine in the world. We settle in at the kitchen counter, working side by side. He's a tidy cook. He cleans up as he goes along, just like me. He shows me how to cut the carrots, how to brown the chicken with bacon, how to combine everything and simmer with red wine. I start to see how the kitchen is kind of like a laboratory. The glass bowls, the measuring spoons, the gas flame on the stove is like a Bunsen burner. When you think about it, even cook's white aprons are similar to the white coats of a scientist. But maybe there's also a little magic in cooking, taking all the plain old ingredients and turning them into comfort and memory. Because when my mom walks in the door, she sniffs the air expectantly. Something smells wonderful, she says. We cook dinner, I say. My grandfather holds out a plate to her. "Is that?" she starts to ask. My grandfather finishes her sentence. "Your mother's coq au vin." She takes a bite and her face turns into a smile. "It tastes exactly the way I remember it," she murmurs. Her eyes shine. "Yes," he says.